Now let's turn in the Holy Scriptures to Psalm 68. Psalm 68. We'll read this psalm in its entirety, and the text for the sermon is verses 19 and 20. The Word of God in Psalm 68, to the chief musician, a psalm or song of David. Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered. Let them also that hate him flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melteth before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. But let the righteous be glad, let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. Sing unto God, sing praises to his name. Extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name, Jah, and rejoice before him. A father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows is God in his holy habitation. God setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. O God, when thou wentest forth before thy people, when thou didst march through the wilderness, Selah, the earth shook, the heavens also dropped at the presence of God. Even Sinai itself was moved at the presence of God, the God of Israel. Thou, O God, didst send a plentiful rain, whereby thou didst confirm thine inheritance when it was weary. Thy congregation hath dwelt therein. Thou, O God, hast prepared of thy goodness for the poor. The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it. Kings of armies did flee apace, and she that tarried at home divided the spoil. Though ye have lain among the pots, yet shall ye be as the wings of a dove covered with silver, and her feathers with yellow gold. When the Almighty scattered kings in it, it was white as snow and salmon. The hill of God is as the hill of Bashan, and high hill as the hill of Bashan. Why leap ye, ye high hills? This is the hill which God desireth to dwell in. Yea, the Lord will dwell in it forever. The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. The Lord is among them, as in Sinai, in the holy place. Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah. He that is our God is the God of salvation, and unto God the Lord belong the issues from death. But God shall wound the head of his enemies, and the hairy scalp of such as one as goeth on still in his trespasses. The Lord said, I will bring again from Bashan, I will bring my people again from the depths of the sea, that thy foot may be dipped in the blood of thine enemies, and the tongue of thy dogs in the same. They have seen thy goings, O God, even the goings of my God, my King, in the sanctuary. The singers went before, the players on instruments followed after. Among them were the damsels playing with timbrels. Bless ye God in the congregations, even the Lord from the fountain of Israel. There is little Benjamin with their ruler, the princes of Judah and their council, the princes of Zebulun and the princes of Naphtali. Thy God hath commanded thy strength. Strengthen, O God, that which thou hast wrought for us. Because of thy temple at Jerusalem shall kings bring presents unto thee. rebuke the company of spearmen, the multitude of the bulls with the calves of the people, till everyone submit himself with pieces of silver. Scatter thou the people that delight in war. Princes shall come out of Egypt. Ethiopia shall soon stretch out her hands unto God. Sing unto God, ye kingdoms of the earth. O sing praises unto the Lord. Selah. To him that rideth upon the heavens of heavens, which were of old, lo, he doth send out his voice, and that a mighty voice. Ascribe ye strength unto God. His excellency is over Israel, and his strength is in the clouds. O God, thou art terrible out of thy holy places. The God of Israel is he that giveth strength and power unto his people. Blessed be God. Thus far we read the inspired and infallible scriptures. May God bless the reading of his word to our hearts. The text is verses 19 and 20. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah. He that is our God is the God of salvation, and unto God the Lord belong the issues from death. Our text, beloved, is a call to bless Jehovah, to bless God. To bless is to speak well of, to magnify the name of God, to make him great, to do as we read in verse 34, ascribe strength unto him. And verse 32, sing unto God. And verses 3 and 4, let the righteous be glad, let them rejoice before God, yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. Sing unto God, sing praises to his name, extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name, Jah, and rejoice before him. The Lord is, as our text says, the God who daily loads us with benefits and the God of our salvation. He is the one who rides on the heavens by his name, Jah. And that name, Jah, is especially the name of God, the personal name of God, the covenant name of God that reveals him to us as the everlasting God who is faithful, who does not change, who does not rely on anyone to load him with benefits in order for him to continue to exist, but who has the fountain of his being within and out of himself. He is the God who is near to us in his love and in his tender mercy, in his faithfulness and in his grace. And he is at the same time the God who rides upon the heavens, who holds the world in his hands, who planned all time and history before he created all things by the mighty voice that he sends out and by which he continues to uphold all things and direct all things that he made. This God, as the psalm says more than once, is our God. He is our Jehovah. And we are called to bless him. Call that we need to hear, because it's true that we don't often feel like blessing God when we're in a time of want or a time of sorrow or a time of difficulty, especially when it's unexpected. It's hard to ascribe strength to God, to confess that his excellency, his goodness is over Israel, and his strength upholds the very clouds. To speak well of him and to magnify his name. But God fills our hearts with his waters That's why verse 26 says, "Bless ye God in the congregations, even the Lord from the fountain of Israel." God fills us with Himself. God fills us with the desire to bless Him, especially when we are gathered together in the congregation, when we are gathered together with one another in the congregation of believers, so that together, individually, and as the body of Christ, we lift up our hearts and voices to bless Jehovah. That's our theme. Bless Jehovah. First of all, for His gifts. Secondly, for His grace. And third, to His glory. Bless Jehovah for His gifts, for His grace, and to His glory. Our text calls us to bless the Lord. Blessed be the Lord. And the first reason that the psalmist gives is that the Lord is the one who daily loads us with benefits, who daily loads us with gifts. And you see that the word benefits is in italics in verse 19 of our text, which means it is not in the original language. It was added by the translators of our version to in their minds, help clarify what the text is saying. And it's not always true that the words in italics help to clarify the meaning of the Word of God as the translators intended, but in our text that is the case. The addition does help to clarify the Word of God in this place. Jehovah is the God who daily loads us with benefits. And the idea of that word load is, first of all, that God places benefits upon us, gifts upon us, in order to relieve us of care. Very similar to what Jesus would say in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6, verses 25 through 34, when He would say three times in 10 verses, "Take no thought for your life. Take no thought what ye shall eat, what ye shall drink, what ye shall put on. Take no thought for the morrow, because Jehovah daily loads you with gifts." What are those benefits? What are those gifts? Well, Psalm 103, verses 3 and 4 tell us to forget not all the benefits of the Lord. He forgives all our iniquities. He heals all our diseases. He redeems our life from destruction. And we'll come to those when we get into the second point, when we speak of blessing Jehovah for His grace. But now we want to speak of the daily gifts that God gives to us. What does God load us with? He loads us with life itself. Our text says at the end of verse 20, "Unto God the Lord belong the issues from death." God controls death. He certainly controls life. God gives us every breath we take, every beat of our heart, the sunshine that warms us and that makes us glad when we see it, the rain that waters the earth and helps the crops grow and come to the harvest. God daily loads us with benefits. Our health and strength comes from God. If we are here tonight, that is likely because God has given us health and strength sufficient to come from our homes to His house of worship. And although we may think of certain aches and pains that we have, or if we're more senior, we might say our health isn't what it was and my strength isn't what it was when I was younger. But we have health and strength, and that comes from God who daily loads us with benefits. Then we have what the Bible calls, what Jesus calls in Matthew 6, our daily bread. And what the Heidelberg Catechism explains as all things necessary for the body, all things that we need to support our life in this world. And how much does not God load us with in that regard? Food and drink in abundance every day. Our occupation to support our earthly life, to put food on the table for our families, to pay for the children's tuition in Christian school, and to support the ministry of the gospel in this congregation, and to give to the other causes of God's kingdom. The ability to use the gifts and talents that God has given us in a particular occupation, whether it be outside the home in some vocation or within the home as a wife and mother raising children and creating a godly home life for the family. God gives us our clothing and our shelter, the furnaces that heat our homes during these cold months of the year, the vehicles that allow us to travel in ease and comfort. A load of benefits that comes from the inexhaustible store of God. Then there are the relational benefits and gifts that God gives to us. The gift of marriage, of a spouse, of a godly spouse with whom we can enjoy fellowship in the Lord and in His truth. The blessings of the covenant home and family, the blessings of children and of father and mother, the blessings of godly friends in the church and fellow believers who in times of trial and affliction, perhaps when we lose the spouse who was so dear to us, or when we lose a son or daughter before we were expecting them to go, the sweet relational ties that give us comfort and remind us of the promises of God at those difficult times. The gift of new children to our families and to our congregation all belong to the daily load of benefits from the hand of God. And beyond that, in the wider context of our life in this country, we enjoy peace and stability and success and comfort. To be sure, not all have that in the same measure. The very fact that all of us were able to come from our homes to gather publicly for worship a second time this Lord's Day speaks to the peace and security and freedoms that we have in this country to worship our God according to His Word, and this belongs to the daily load of gifts that comes from God. And I've skipped many things, and likely you have been thinking of benefits and gifts in your own mind and heart and compiling a list of what God daily loads you with. And if we should continue to enumerate the gifts and benefits of God, there would be no end. The Lord daily loads us with benefits. Our text emphasizes that God is overabundant with His gifts. In that word loads, He doesn't just give, He doesn't trickle out His benefits and gifts one drop at a time. He loads us. We speak of having loads of work to do, perhaps, or mothers speak of having loads of laundry, or children speak of having loads of homework. And the idea of that is there's so much to do that it's a burden. Well, our text is saying God daily loads us with a burden of good things, of gifts. He loads us the way that the people of God of old loaded their pack animals, their donkeys and camels, with heavy burdens to carry for them. So the Lord daily loads us with good gifts from His storehouse, from heaven. Secondly, the text speaks of God's benefits, the extent of God's benefits in terms of time. He daily loads us with benefits. Not weekly, not monthly, not when he gets around to it or when it crosses his mind. Daily. And the idea of the original is this: blessed be the Lord who day loads us with gifts. A day begins. You get up out of bed. You have your breakfast. You go about the labors and activities of the day. You do your work. You come home at night, or you go to your room and you lay down to go to sleep. And the day comes to an end. Day. And then the next day begins. And God is there with another load of gifts and benefits for you. Day, the Lord loads us with gifts. And the psalm is careful too to notice, in the third place, about the extent of God's gifts, that Jehovah daily loads us with benefits, collectively. Us as individuals, to be sure. We all can confess, the Lord loads me with benefits. But also collectively, as families, as extended families, as a congregation, as a people of God, the Lord loads us with benefits. Not just to me, but to us, even as Jesus taught us to pray, not give me, but give us this day our daily bread, that we might always be conscious of the fact that God is conscious of His people. God daily loads us with benefits. This is the testimony of the whole Scripture. If you read Psalm 107, you will find four times in that passage repeated this exclamation, "Oh, that the children of men would praise the Lord for His wonderful works, for His gifts, for His benefits." And in the New Testament, James 1 verse 17 says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." And that applies to those good and perfect gifts. God does not change. There's no variableness with Him. There's no shadow of turning with Him. Day, He loads us with benefits. From the first day that we take our breath until our final hour in this life. Our text calls us at the end of verse 19 to pause and meditate on this truth. The word Selah means exactly that, to pause and to meditate on the truth that has come before. Meditate on the good gifts that our God piles upon us every day. Every day, which is itself a gift. Maybe you have that written somewhere in your homes or in a journal or on a sticky note by your computer. Every day is a gift. That truth is written on our minds and hearts as the people of God, and our text engraves it more deeply on our consciousness. Every day is a gift. And every good and perfect gift in that day comes down from the Father of lights. We have nothing of ourselves. We cannot support ourselves. We do not merit anything that we receive. They are gifts. They are benefits. They are given. They are not earned. From second to second, from hour to hour, and day to day, to say nothing of month to month and year to year, everything is given to you, to me, to us, by Jehovah, by the Lord, by our God. So much is this so that to sit here this afternoon and see this text and read these words and repeat them to ourselves in our minds and hearts is not of ourselves, but it is the gift of God. But what if we struggle to see that the Lord daily loads us with benefits? What if we have all these things and we're not happy? Or what if we look around us in the world and see wicked men and women with a far greater load of benefits than we ourselves enjoy? Or what if we lose all of these things in a day, like Job? Our possessions, our children, our loved ones, our health. What is there to hold us up? That, beloved, is the greater reason to bless God, and why the psalmist calls us to bless God in our text. Because He is not only the God who daily loads us with good gifts, with benefits, but He is the God who gives us His grace. He is the God of our salvation. Twice the text repeats that. Verse 19, "The Lord, even the God of our salvation, He that is our God is the God of salvation. And unto God the Lord belong the issues from death." We can stand in the very center of the shower of God's daily load of gifts and still be miserable. The daily load of benefits itself is not what makes us happy. Jesus would teaches in Matthew 16, "Though a man gain the whole world and lose his soul, what does it profit him? What good is it to him that God daily loads with benefits?" Because you understand, this is true of all men, that God daily loads with benefits. He gives His good gifts to the wicked as well as to the righteous, to the unholy as well as to the holy. What then makes these good gifts a blessing to us? A benefit, a true benefit to us. And even something that serves our salvation as God's children. It is this, that in order to have any of God's good gifts benefit us, we must have the grace of God. God must be not only the God who daily loads us with benefits, but He must be also, and especially, the God of our salvation. The grace of God is His beauty, is His glorious beauty as God. It is His surpassing loveliness. It is His love and His mercy and His compassion and His tender mercies to us, His children who are in Christ Jesus. The grace of God is the power of God working salvation in us. Verse 35 speaks of the grace of God when it says, "The God of Israel is He that giveth strength and power unto His people." That is, the God of Israel is he that giveth grace unto his people. And that grace is necessary to make any of the good gifts that God daily loads us with of any benefit to us whatsoever. The mistake that many make today is to put an equal sign between the daily load of benefits and the grace or blessing of God. To equate the daily load of benefits or the lack thereof with a man or woman or young person or child's happiness or unhappiness in this life. Sometimes that's called common grace. That's what we might know it as. To see grace in the daily load of benefits. To identify the gifts and grace of God as one and the same. That is a sad mistake. Because it sets the people of God up for despair. And it sets the unruly wicked up in their pride. If for the righteous, the daily load of benefits is less or seems to be non-existent, and if for the wicked, they have much in this world. Go over the list of benefits again that God gives to us and that we recited. Go over them in your mind and note that with any one of them, or with all of them together, you may have them and yet be unhappy and be miserable in this world and have no assurance that God is in love with you. Or turn to a passage like Psalm 88, a few pages away from our text, and read in Psalm 88 the lament of a certain child of God named He-Man. He-Man is an exceedingly miserable man, as you read his words in Psalm 88. He says in verse 15, I am afflicted and ready to die from my youth up. He-Man experienced only affliction already in his young years, a time of life when there should be joy and strength and a love for life and a readiness to take on the world, as it were. He-Man says, I was afflicted from my youth up and ready to die while I suffer thy terrors and am distracted. And He-Man's lament in Psalm 88 does not begin in a low place and rise to the heights the way that a passage like Psalm 130 does, which begins with the psalmist crying from the depths and ending with the glorious cry, the Lord Jehovah will redeem Israel from all his iniquities. The child of God, He-Man, in Psalm 88 begins his words with in verse 1, O Lord God of my salvation, I have cried day and night before thee. And he ends his words in verse 18, Lover and friend thou hast put far from me, and mine acquaintance into darkness. This is not a man who was saying, I have a daily load of benefits from God. Or if he received them, they turned sour in his mouth and in his life. He was a very sad man. And yet, he was at the same time exceedingly happy. Because the difference for him was not in the gifts, but in the grace of God, which he had. This man was sad. This righteous man was sad. While all around him, the wicked rejoiced. They had all things in common. They had the daily load of benefits in common. The only thing they did not have in common was grace. This man had grace. And the wicked do not. The difference, to put it in the words of our text, is our God is the God of salvation. The God of salvation. And literally the God of salvations. Because God's grace does not come in only one way, and in only one form, and for only one thing, and at only one time. God's grace is all sufficient. God's grace is all pervasive. God's blessing is day for the child of God. God's blessing and grace for the child of God does not fail, even as God Himself cannot and does not fail. And the sad child of God, He-Man, in Psalm 88, confesses that from the very beginning, although his words are sad, his hope from verse 1 is in the Lord God of my salvation. That's the difference between the righteous and the wicked. He-Man had grace, and the child of God today, you have grace that works salvation, that upholds you and gives you happiness, even though tears and suffering, loneliness and pain may be your constant companions. And He-Man, as every child of God will be, is rejoicing in heaven at this moment and blessing the name of the God of salvation. While a man like King Belshazzar, in the days of Daniel the prophet, who had his palaces and his banquets and his wine and his money, when he was killed by his rival, the bottom fell out of his world. There was no grace to carry him. And all his load of benefits pressed him down to destruction. The difference is Jesus. Jesus is the God of our salvation. Come down from heaven, taking our flesh and blood, and living in this world, not under a daily load of benefits, but under a daily load of the crushing weight of the wrath of God against all of our sins of ingratitude and selfishness and forgetfulness of God and despair and doubt of His goodness, that He took upon Him and that He willingly carried day throughout His life, until He carried the cross to Golgotha. And on that cross, during 3 hours of darkness, carried the unimaginable weight of the eternal wrath of God against our sins, experienced in his soul that he was forsaken of God, called out of the darkness, not blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits, but my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And yet at the same time, for Jesus, in the halls of his eternal light, God the Father was exclaiming, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Grace in Jesus. Grace through Jesus. for the child of God who believes in Him, who lays hold of Him by faith. The daily support that God gives us, even when our daily load does not seem to be good, but evil. These are the us of which our text speaks. The Lord daily gives us grace. He is the God of our salvation. The ones graced by Jehovah. The ones who have seen, as John 1 verse 18 puts it, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And out of these, this us, this one group of graced people, there are those who experience that grace in sunshine and others who experience that grace in shadow. But all partake of the grace and salvation that comes from the inexhaustible benefits earned by the death of Christ. Whether we walk with Him in the light of day or in the darkness of the valley of the shadow of death, we have His grace, the forgiveness of sins, the joy of assurance, the knowledge of everlasting life, and the hope of a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory that make our present difficulties in this life a light affliction by comparison. Because we are carried by the Lord who daily loads us with grace. Even as He wrote to the children of Israel, spoke to them through Isaiah the prophet in Isaiah 46 verses 3 and 4. Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb, even to your old age, I am He, and even to hoar hairs will I carry you. I have made, and I will bear, even I will carry, and will deliver you. That's the promise of the God of our salvation, who daily loads us not only with gifts, but with His grace for Jesus' sake. Our God, to whom our text says belongs the issues from death, and that also is an aspect of salvation that the psalmist is careful to note. God does not only give us grace in this life, but in Christ, He has made an issue from death. That word issue is really escape. He has opened a way of deliverance from the power of death itself through Christ, through His coming and His death and His resurrection. The Lord God of our salvation has made an issue from death into His everlasting kingdom. And that hope and that promise is what gives us, even if we feel ourselves like He-Man, to proclaim out of darkness, O Lord God of our salvation. Bless Jehovah, beloved, for His grace in Jesus. Do that to His glory. This is not a tack on the end of this message. This is where our text leads us. Bless it, the Lord. He daily loads us with benefits. He day by day gives us His grace to preserve us in the salvation that He has given to us by Jesus Christ. Bless Him. Speak well of Him. Magnify His name to His glory. Make Him great. Lift up His name in the sanctuary. The context of our text speaks repeatedly of God's sanctuary, because that's where we bless God. and in His sanctuary gathered before Him, confessing His name, calling on Him in prayer, singing His praises with understanding, bringing our gifts and offerings as tokens of our gratitude to Him for all the benefits and grace that we receive from Him, and gathered with a people who know the joyful sound, who can say as well, "Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with gifts and upholds us by His grace." Bless Him in the sanctuary. And bless Him every day. Magnify His name in your work, in your life. Magnify the Lord. Know who it is to which you owe each day and each hour, and the strength to labor and the blessing upon that work. In this Thanksgiving season, we hear even in the world the call to give thanks, to be grateful. We hear neighbors perhaps, or acquaintances whose lives demonstrate that they do not bless the Lord. We hear them speaking about being grateful and giving thanks, but they know not to whom. Let us be a different people who know who it is that gives us every day and every gift, who upholds us in salvation, who gives us the hope of everlasting life. Let us bless the Lord. Let us bless His name in Jesus. Let us bless Him who by His only begotten Son brought us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, who is bringing us to the paradise of glory, who is bringing us to His own heart and to His own presence, who opens the door, who will open the door of death for each one of us to pass from this life into the world that is to come, who gives us to walk in light even when we feel that we are in darkness, to the heaven of heavens. Beloved, bless the Lord. Sing His praises. Rejoice before Him. Exceedingly rejoice for His gifts, for His grace, and unto everlasting glory. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy word. We bless Thy name. We make Thy name. We ascribe to Thee strength and glory. We magnify Thy name in this place as a congregation before the world and before Thee. We confess all we have received today in the gifts and the benefits and the good things that support this life, as well as the grace that we've received through Thy word to continue another week in this world in faithfulness to Thee, in daily conversion, in repentance and confession of our sins, and assurance of perseverance. All has come from Thy hand. All is ours for Jesus' sake. We give Thee thanks. And may we ever walk worthy of Thy glory with the hope of everlasting peace and joy before us. In Jesus' name, amen.